again this evening to the book of Ezekiel and the 10th chapter. 10th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. Last week we considered the thought of the sound, the noise, which the cherubim wings made, which was the sound of, as of the Almighty God, when He speaketh. And we looked at that thought and from Scripture saw that it was as God that thundereth when He speaks. Tonight we want to go on and we want to consider God's wrath, the providence of God's wrath, and how He directs that. But before we get into the thoughts, I want to read verses 1 through 7 of the 10th chapter. Verse 1, "Then I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, as the appearance of the likeness of a throne. And he spake unto the man, clothed with linen, and said, Go in between the wheels, even under the cherub, and fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims, and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now, the cherubim stood in the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was filled full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when He speaketh. And it came to pass that when He had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, Take fire from between the wheels, from between the cherubims, then he went in and stood beside the wheels. And one cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims unto the fire that was between the cherubims, and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen, who took it and went out." This second point is the directions of His wrath. Or, as I was thinking about it, we could, another topic that we could put to this point is God's providence of wrath. God Almighty, who thundereth, continues His orders for the destruction of Jerusalem. He had told Ezekiel that they would be destroyed by fire and by sword. A great destruction it would be. Turn with me back to the 5th chapter and let's look at that for just a minute. The 5th chapter and verse 2. Son of man, set thy face toward the mountains of Israel and prophesy against them. And say, ye mountains of Israel, hear the word of the Lord God. Thus saith the Lord God to the mountains and to the hills and to the rivers and to the valleys, behold, I, even I, will bring a sword upon you, and I will destroy your high places, and your altars shall be desolate, and your images shall be broken, and I will cast down your slain men before your idols. And I will lay the dead carcasses of the children of Israel before their idols, and I will scatter your bones round about your altars. Your altars. This is what he said to him back in the fifth chapter. And as we know, that in going through these chapters, that a lot of it is repetition, him recounting what he's going to do and giving the assurance. And now we've come to the 10th chapter, and it seems as though, not seems as though, it is imminent. It is near at hand. Now, orders are given to the one clothed in linen to lay the city in ashes. That's what the scattering, that they're taking these coals of fire from between the cherubim and scattering them over the city. That is what that is to represent. The city is going to be burned up, and it's going to be laid ashes. What a horrible thought. What a horrible thought. And when you consider that this is Jerusalem, This was to be the city of God. This was a city on a hill that as light was to shine forth the glory of God to all the world, to the nations round about, and to all the world. It was to shine forth. As we've already looked at and considered, the glory of the Lord was lifted up. We just read that in verses 3 and 4. It was lifted up. And the cherubim stood on the right, and the glory of the Lord lifted up from between the cherubim. Where was that? From between the cherubim on the mercy seat. And they stood over, it stood over the threshold of the house. So it leaves the spot, its place, from between the cherubim, from upon the mercy seat, from where God spoke with them personally. God, it was a symbol of God's presence in their midst. He's getting ready to depart. But before he does, he lingers. He lingers at the threshold. Next, we'll consider the fact in the course of things that we find him lingering at above the cherubim. And then when we come to the 11th chapter, we find him has departed the city. And he's up on a mountain, watching down, looking down upon the destruction. But that's a ways away yet. When we look at that and see that. But he's getting ready to depart. But before leaving, he had some final judgments to issue, to reveal to Ezekiel, but to issue to this one clothed in linen, to issue to the city of Jerusalem and the countryside of Judah and Israel. God would be giving them word. The people were not willing, had not been willing for many years to hear the word which God had delivered to them from His holy temple. They had not been willing to hear it. They had not been willing to obey it. And they had gone their own way. Therefore, they're going to be made to hear His doom, to hear their doom, and witness it when it begins to fall upon them. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms in chapter 81. And yes, you say, well, what Psalms has to do with what we're looking at here in Ezekiel? Well, the 81st Psalm does have something to say with what we are dealing with and looking at here. Look with me at verse 10. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. That's what He told them, basically. In essence, that's what He told them. He said, hearken to my words, hearken to my commandments, obey my commandments, and you'll be blessed. That's as a bird opening its mouth wide and God filling it. Filling it to the full and being satisfied with what it receives. But look at what He says in verse 11. But my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. My people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. They would have nothing to do with Him. They would have nothing to listening to His commandments, to obeying, the obeying of His commandments. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah in the 7th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 7. You look with me here at verse 23. But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and ye shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. Obey my commandments, and you'll be blessed. Amen. But they hearken not, nor incline their ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. You see, forward symbolizes going forward in the Lord. Going backward symbolizes going away from the Lord. They went away from Him. In fact, at times it would seem as though they ran away from Him. At times it would seem as though we're running away from Him instead of pressing on in the work of the Lord, being obedient to His word and to His commands. Look with me concerning this at one other passage, what we read in the book of Isaiah. In Isaiah in chapter 65. Isaiah 65 and verse 11 says, but ye are they that forsake the Lord, that forget my holy mountain, Jerusalem, the Mount Zion. that prepare a table for that troop and that furnish the drink offering unto that number. Therefore, will I number you to the sword, and ye shall all bow down to the slaughter. Because when I called, ye did not answer. When I spake, ye did not hear, but did evil before mine eyes, and did choose that wherein I delighted not. But did choose that wherein I delighted not. How does that strike you as you read those words? How oft do we choose that which the Lord does not delight in? Does not bring honor and glory and praise to His name? Let me tell you, it is not good for a people, any people, when the glory of the Lord is departing. And when it has departed, it is not good for any people under those circumstances. Turn with me and let's look at just one example. And we've thought about that before when we were in the ninth chapter. We even turned to this passage of Scripture once, 1 Samuel chapter 4. The book of 1 Samuel in chapter 4. And you may remember it already as I announced the text. But 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 15. Remember Eli? Remember Hophni and Phinehas? Hophni and Phinehas were priests. Eli was the high priest. Hophni and Phinehas were his sons. His son's ways did not please the Lord because he caused the people of God to commit whoredoms, to sin. Eli did not restrain them, but just let it go on. And because he did not restrain them, look at what happened. Verse 15. Now Eli was 98 years old, and his eyes were dim, that he could not see. And the man said unto Eli, I am he that came out on out of the army, and I fled today out of the army. And he said, what is there done, my son? And the messenger answered and said, Israel is fled before the Philistines, and there hath been also a great slaughter among the people. And thy two sons also, Hophni and Phinehas, are dead. And the ark of God is taken. The glory of the Lord was in the ark, was on the ark, seated on the mercy seat between the cherubim, which overset the ark. And it came to pass, when he made mention of the ark of God, that he fell from off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck brake, and he died. For he was an old man and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years. God's judgment upon him. The glory of God was departing. And Hophni and Phinehas are slain in the battle. The ark of God is taken. And Eli, because he allowed it to go on, did not restrain his sons, fell over backwards and broke his neck and died. Now look what is played out and what is said here. And his daughter-in-law, that is Eli's daughter-in-law, Phinehas' wife, was with child, near to be delivered, and when she heard the tidings that the ark of God was taken, and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and in travail, for her pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the woman that stood by her said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast borne a son. But she answered not, neither did she regard it. And she named the child Ichabod, saying, The glory is departed from Israel, because the ark of God was taken, and because of her father-in-law and her husband. And she said, The glory is departed, Israel, for the ark of God is taken. You see, it does not go well with any people when the glory of God is departing or has already departed. It is not going well for Israel and for Judah back here in the days of Ezekiel with the glory of the Lord getting ready to depart. He's made the first indication that he's leaving by leaving the mercy seat between the cherubim and departing to the threshold. Which is also, we also had reference to in the 9th chapter. And I think it was verse 2 or 3. Listen. We as the people of God are to be as salt, preserving the world. And we're to be a light shining forth the glory of the Lord. When our ways are not pleasing to the Lord, when He does not delight in our ways, when we don't bring honor and glory and praise to His name, we're not being the preserving agent that we ought to be. We're not being the light shining forth brightly into the world that we ought to be. Turn with me to the book of Matthew. The book of Matthew in chapter 5. And I want to leave you with these thoughts tonight. The application that we're drawing here from Ezekiel in the 10th chapter and these verses 1 through 7. And even as we go through the rest of the chapter, we'll be considering those thoughts and it's the thoughts of God's providence, His great providence. And wrath is part of His providence that He meets out, that He delivers to a people when their ways do not please Him. Verse 13 of chapter 5 of the book of Matthew. You, that is the people of God, those that are born again as stipulated by the blesseds. Yes. In the first part of the chapter. Every one of those are pointing in trace of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they're pointing in trace of what ought to be for the people of God, for those who profess the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we're not there, as I said, when we're not there, then we're not as salt and as a preserving agent to the world. He said in verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, his saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Listen,
if we've lost our preserving agent, if we're not saucy anymore, then we're of no good to the Lord, but to be cast out and trodden underfoot of men.
Just as we are seen in the book of Ezekiel. With Israel, they were to be a city set on a hill. They were to be a light of the glory of the Lord to the nations about them and to the world. But they failed to do that. They would not do that which was honoring and glorifying and pleasing unto the Lord. Ye are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. So many times we walk around and here's our light shining, but we've got it under a bushel. Why? Because we're afraid people might see that we're a Jesus people. Because our ways don't manifest Jesus.
Right?
Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine in this manner, in a bright manner, as on a candlestick, giving light to all that see it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Amen. My prayer to God is that I would be that light. That light that is shining so bright to His honor and to His glory. You see, it's not for any honor and for any glory of mine, but it's for the honor and the glory of the Lord. So we'll conclude those thoughts tonight. We'll go on next week with the second point under this second main point. And that'll be in consideration again of the one who is employed. The one whom the Almighty God, who thundereth, who He employs in this business, in carrying out His acts. It's the same one whom He employed over in the 9th chapter, go through and mark them in their foreheads for salvation. You see, now He becomes the executioner, executing God's wrath. All right, shall we bow the Lord in word of prayer?